Good evening, everyone. This is Barry Gray speaking to you from the studios of WOR in New York. This is the Friday night show of 25 minutes of conversation with people that I ask to gather at the microphones, and we discuss a variety of things, sometimes show business, sometimes political things and discussions and so on. And tonight I have as my guests Mr. Canada Lee, recently played a starring position in the motion picture Lost Boundaries, which is currently playing the circuits of the nation, and a professional music man of many years standing, Mr. Mac Clark. I think probably we can get right to it by asking Canada Lee, who has been accused of being many, many things, the reason why. Canada?
I'm sort of at a loss to say, Barry. I'm an actor who wants to make $1 million. I think I've probably been accused of trying to make $1 million. But unfortunately, or fortunately as the case may be, somehow or other, things have been happening which makes me sort of wonder about everything in this respect. That, well, Barry, I want to act.
Yeah.
Period.
Uh-huh.
And I find myself at this point unable to due to the lack of interest in my work.
Well, I saw you, as I say, in the motion picture Lost Boundaries, and I might add that I was very much shocked to see the motion picture playing in the South and enjoyed it a great, great deal. You played the part of the police captain.
Yes, lieutenant.
I'm sorry. I just advanced you.
Yeah.
And when I came back to New York, you see, Canada, I must admit that I've been out of New York action for a couple of years, and I have been away from the political scenery, although I read most of the New York papers. And when I came back, I found that Canada Lee had suddenly found himself attached to many, many groups of people were fighting various sorts of battles, and I found that there had been a tinge attached to the, or a taint attached to the name Canada Lee.
Good.
And I'm a guy that likes to call things, and I want to ask you why.
Well,
I want to find out if we still agree politically or we disagree, and why have you done this?
All right, I must tell you about it, Barry.
Go ahead.
I haven't changed politically one bit.
Uh-huh.
I'm still a liberal.
Uh-huh.
Not a communist by any stretch of the imagination. But it seems like during the war, Barry, when everybody was fighting and helping every organization that called on them, I appeared as much as I possibly could, in as much as it was to my advantage and every other minority and American's advantage, to see that America prosecuted the war successfully.
Uh-huh.
It seems like during the war period in which I was appearing for different organizations in their effort to help win the war, the organizations which I appeared for, some of them, have been called by the district attorney of...
Attorney General's office.
As red-fronted organizations.
Uh-huh.
And so, by association, not considering, of course, that this was during the war period, just as once a great nation was our ally, and now she isn't.
Uh-huh.
And there were these organizations which was fighting for us and which were on the right side at that point, which are now considered subversive.
I see. And have you become a member of any of these organizations?
I haven't even joined the Elks. As a matter of fact, I'm not a joiner. I really am not a joiner. I joined church once when I was a little kid,
uh-huh,
and I've never joined anything since.
Well, I realize, you said last Friday night, winding up a discussion with a couple of very wonderful people, Ed Wiener, who is a Broadway publicist and a very fine one, the writer of the Damon Runyon story, and Mel Allen, the very fine sportscaster. Last Friday night, I wound up the discussion by saying I was getting a little tired of worrying about whether this guy was a fascist and that fellow was a communist. I thought we ought to start living up to the Bill of Rights, the Four Freedoms, and FDR's great position a little left of center. I made it very clear that I was a firm believer in the Constitution of the United States. I've always have been. I think it's a great piece of writing by some very brilliant guys, and it should be on the nation's bestseller list every week of the year. And as a result, I then started talking about Franco Spain. And I said that I had no aversion to helping the people of Spain, but I certainly did not want to help a certain Mr. Franco or General Franco. For that, I drew two letters this week out of the couple of hundred nice ones that arrived, in which they called me a bad fella. Here's what I'm getting at. I don't believe that that we, in running away from communism, should fall freshly into the arms of fascism. I don't believe that we should go to either position, either side of the position of center, right or left. I want to find out whether the accusations that have been pointed at you or directed your way are true or not true. If you haven't joined any organizations, why then have you been called the names?
I don't know, Barry, except that, you see, I'm one of a minority group.
Mm-hmm.
And just aside, if I may diverse for...
Digress.
If I may digress...
Pretty good word. Go ahead.
If I may digress for a moment, Barry, if you will read the Constitution now in the form it is, as it has been these many years, you'd be probably called names, too, or sort of tinted. But I've been fighting for the minority peoples because in fighting for the minority peoples, I again fight for myself.
Well, let me ask you, I don't want to interrupt,
yeah.
Canada, but I want to keep the thing as rapid as possible.
Yeah.
Do you really feel that baseball bats, for example, in Peekskill, do you feel that riots, do you feel that violence will settle the problem?
No, Barry, I feel very much like you do, that only education and a whole process of evolution can do it. I don't think that people should carry baseball bats. I deplore very much the Peekskill incident.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what side it was on, I deplore it even more because, I better not go on.
Do you feel that a free speech includes
That's
the right...
It's one of the principles of the Constitution.
Yes, it is. Free speech is the principle of the Constitution, but as one very great justice has pointed out, free speech does not mean that you can stand up in a crowded theater and yell fire.
I agree with you.
And it also means, if we may go to the Robeson situation, it also means that Paul Robeson does not have the right to stand up and speak for the overthrow of the United States government or say openly that he is in favor of another country and loves it very dearly instead of his native land. I don't believe that the rights of free speech extend that far. I would not have it that way.
That's true. I don't believe that a person, as a matter of fact, as you said, I don't believe that anybody can speak wholeheartedly for anybody else. I think, of course, I've had an opinion about this which will take too long to go into, and I think it has to do a great deal. All of this stuff on the Robeson thing and everything else has a great deal to do with the great Negro minority, which is no more a minority, but a majority.
Mm.
There's also the fact that from the very inception of the average white person's birth, they are taught the fear of the Negro, either with razors, with their vitality, with their violence, or with something else, or just the boogeyman will catch you.
That is all being taken care of with education. I might add, Canada, and I want to get to Mac Clark in a second.
Yeah, I didn't finish my theory, Barry.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
Wait
a minute.
Go ahead.
And it's only my theory, of course.
Yeah.
And so consequently, what could happen with this great majority, which is no more a minority, I mean of ethnic groups, if these people were unified, it would cause a great stir in America. Because the thing that has happened in America from its very inception is that the poor people, the minorities, not Negroes alone, Negroes as Negroes per se aren't important in the whole scheme of things, but the minority peoples and the poor peoples have been kept down. Now, if these people could get together, they would then be in a very strong position to make their own laws. This applies to the Negro group
You see, that's where we disagree. I don't hold with that at all.
I don't finish my theory.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let me bring the listener up to date,
right,
though. You have said that if the minority groups, and by minority you mean the poor people of the United States, could get together, they could then form a majority and control the legislation of the United States, right?
Yes, but this is only my... I'm disregarding the other people. I'm using the Negro group as a reason for all the things that's been happening recently. So, here is a great group that is a minority that could be a majority with the unification of thought.
Uh-huh.
Now, if anybody comes along and tried to unify these Negroes, if they could form, if it was able, which it's an absolute impossibility, but if they could, they would form a tremendous bloc. Political bloc.
Yes.
Which would be tremendously important in our country, you see.
Yes.
This, if it happened, would be all contrary to how our country has...
Well, Can I get in?
Yes.
Can I get in
now?
You see, I'm going way beyond you because I know the thought that you're trying
to
express.
Yeah, well, you finish it for me because I'm so bad at driving.
No. I'm trying to get to the point. What you're stating actually is the very thing that goes against civil rights. Number one, Canada, I don't believe that the Negroes of the United States should become one group. I don't believe
That's what I'm saying, Barry. You see, that's what I say.
I don't believe that the Jewish people of the United States should become one group, or the Catholics, or the Italians, or any other group. I think that we should be first and foremost Americans.
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly. But what I'm trying to say, Barry, now you make me look like
I wish you'd get to because we've got about 12 minutes.
All right,
go ahead.
Give me about 2 minutes, and I can straighten this out. And so now, if anybody came along with any sort of thought that could unify these people, everybody would become afraid, just like we've been taught all of our lives to be afraid of Negroes. See, so a guy comes along and makes some sort of speech which, if it's quoted as right, I don't believe it. It's wrong. You know, a guy can
I don't follow you, Canada. Honestly, I don't.
I'm sorry.
Do you, Mac?
No, I don't.
I'd like to get you into the conversation.
Well, it's quite all right. I mean, you're handling exactly what I think fairly well, and so
here's
there's no necessity of my talking.
Here's what I mean, Mac. That,
Wait a second. Let me get this in yeses and noes. Are you for unification of the minority groups?
No, sir. I'm for the free thinking and the American...
Of each group.
Yes, of
course. Each group.
Not of each group, of a conglomerated group of American people.
In other words,
I don't believe in Negro, white, a Jew, Catholic. I don't believe in that. We're American people.
In other words, you believe in civil rights.
Yes.
Well, that's exactly what we're getting at. Now, believing in civil rights, have you gone any further than that? Why is it
that I've been fighting for civil rights.
Why have people, I'm trying to get to the point, why have people given you the taint of being a follower, a leftist, a fellow traveler? Why have you been given that taint?
That's because, Barry, of the many times that I've been on the right, my forefront of the fight for equal rights. That's all I've been doing. But the organizations that I might have been with, which was during the war and until this thing started, was some of them have been, for instance, the Southern Conference for Human Welfare, which is an organization for Negro welfare, you know, and some other organizations which have been called communist fronted, with the result that they have everybody. They had me, Miss Hayes, Miss Helen Hayes. And Mr.
Lady.
Frederick March, she's a very great lady, and a Republican. They called us all.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I heard the Walter Winchell broadcast of that Sunday night when he defined Helen Hayes as a rock rib Republican. Of course, it's ridiculous, but that brings up the point that I've been getting to. We are rapidly getting to the point, Canada, whether this applies to you or not, I don't know, because I haven't had enough time to discuss it with you. We are rapidly getting to the point in the United States where, rather than just open disagreement with people, for example, if you sat here and you were a Democrat and I were a Republican and we had a hassle about it, we would still be Republicans and Democrats friends with a great respect for each other and our argumentative abilities individually after the broadcast. It has gotten to the point today where the greatest weapon that you can hold against any individual, and this works on both sides, is in disagreement to say privately about that individual, he is a communist, or he is a fascist, or he is this, or he is that. We have become a nation of race callers,
name callers.
And it's gotten to the point where it has affected the employment of many, many people. And I'm a guy, this may come as a surprise to you, I'm a guy that would like to change the Constitution in one small way. I would like, until we get over this thing, to register all the people of all the political parties under threat of imprisonment or fine if they didn't tell the truth. I would like to know who are the Republicans, who are the Democrats, who is everyone. It sounds a little strange, but it would save the people who are being innocently branded the great difficulty with, that they're going through. I might add, I don't know, it may be people like yourself. It might be someone like Mac Clark, who I'm afraid disagrees with you vehemently.
Vehemently?
Go ahead, Mac.
Well, in the first place, before I let your statement go unchallenged about this changing of the Constitution and registering
people... Well, it would be an amendment, actually.
...or amending it in any form, I know of no way that a crook gets into a house other than posing as a friend. I mean, that's the best way. And so a communist can very well register as a Democrat.
But remember the fine.
Well, the fine is a tremendous thing to impose upon people because then there's a tremendous lengthy litigation of one kind or another, and we never really resolve the thing. Mm-hmm. However, there's one thing. I've not come here to bury Canada Lee, nor have I come here to praise him. to paraphrase Shakespeare.
I've heard of him.
The kid wrote pretty well, didn't he?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or was it Bacon? At any rate, I think that the trouble in Canada Lee's case, as it does come in a great many cases, Barry, is the fact that they align themselves with certain groups that do take orders from Russia. And I'm not mincing words. I mean, they are part of the all-over common form. And in their desire for these civil rights, which I am part and parcel of, I believe that every minority group has its place, but in their desire, in their militancy to get this thing done, they align themselves with a group that is bad for them. And pretty soon they're thinking...
Wait a second, Canada. I want to get into the act at that point. I would like to say that for 5 years I've been talking about things like this and of this type. I have never once joined any group. I'm eligible for all of the veterans organizations. I'm eligible for many of the religious groups. I am for some of the activities of some of the organizations, and yet I will not let myself become aligned with them because the policy that holds true on Monday when I join might not be the policy on the following Friday, where they may have swung the whole electoral block in the direction of the top officers, and this goes for all of the communist-fronted groups, for all of the veterans groups, and I can go on and on and on. It works on the right, and it works on the left. Therefore, I believe that the proper place for all individualistic and free-thinking American citizens is as individuals. Listen to all the arguments, join no organization, and go to the polls and vote as you see fit.
Well, that's what I've done
and
so far, join no organization.
I want to interrupt for a second. Let us bring in the case of Adler and Draper. Now, I don't know their political views. I have been led to believe by various news columns that they are leftists. I've had Adler and Draper on the air, the harmonica virtuoso and the dancer. I don't know, you can't tell in 15 or 20 minutes. It takes many hours of discussing many things and to find out. But I would like to say this. I think that they made a terrible error in going to the footlights of a stage, wherever they were performing, and saying, vote for Henry A. Wallace because I am for him. Therefore, if you like me, vote for the man I like. I've said this before. I think that actors have the right to stand up and say, vote on Tuesday, November the 8th, because it's every American's duty to vote, but I do not think that an actor has the right to say, if you like me as an actor, vote as I think politically, because being an actor has nothing to do with their political views.
That's true.
I think that Frederick...
Nor the people who come to see you.
Right. I think that Frederick March on the screen is a very fine man. I have been told that in person he's a great gentleman.
He's a wonderful
But I would not vote as Frederick March votes just because I like him as an actor.
He's a wonderful
I think that, and I go to the other side, I think that Robert Montgomery is a brilliant director, a fine actor, an accomplished thespian and gentleman. I would not vote as he votes, even though I like him as all of the in all the things I've enumerated. Yes, Mac.
Well, I was going to say that a great deal of this, and I don't know whether this is applicable to Canada or not. I don't know the gentleman that well, but I do know that a great many people who are find themselves in Canada's spot will say that how was I to know? Now, Canada is not by any means a stupid man. He is.
Nor is he 4 years old.
Nor is he a child. I mean, he's had the rough edges brushed rubbed off him by being in this business, which is a great education in itself. I mean, it's like a rolling stone. You gather no moss, and certainly you gather no stupidity. And for him to come up and say, well, how was I to know, is no defense to me.
I'm sorry, I must disagree with you.
Now, wait a minute,
just a moment. I don't mean to disagree with you.
I'm disagreeing with you.
Right,
you're quite at liberty.
I'll disagree with you then, Mac. Here's what I mean. Take an organization like the Southern Conference for Human Welfare, which is an organization made up of Southerners to try to get better equal rights and civil liberties for the Negroes in the South.
Uh-huh.
You see, all of a sudden, because for what reason I still don't know why they've been called a communist.
Wait a second. I live in the South, Canada. I live in the South, and I can speak on this subject as an authority, and I can tell you that the people in the South that are trying to do a job of equalizing the Negro, and I speak now of civil rights, I'm not talking about, and I'm going to make that point, I'm not talking about social equality, I'm talking about labor and professional opportunities and equalities. Social equality is
That's
something that each man must decide for himself.
Yes.
I feel socially equal to anyone, and I'm sure that everyone feels socially equal to me. I enjoy having people of all races and creeds and colors, etc., in my home and vice versa. I enjoy the interchange of ideas. However, to a Georgian who is a deep-dyed a Georgian, that may be a different story. But I believe that all colors and all religions have the right to work as mechanics or doctors or lawyers, regardless of their color, the color of their skin, or the religion they profess to follow. But I tell you this, the people that agree with me in the South, and there are many, and they're growing because of education and an interchange of ideas, are not the people that are joining organizations. They are the people that voted for Harry Truman because of the civil rights program. They may have disagreed with him on other things, but they felt that the civil rights legislation was a quicker and surer way and an easier way, but a slower way to get there than trying to beat down people's heads with baseball bats or knock through doors or creating scenes by entering Negro entrances in Alabama when they knew that they had to enter the white under the current existing laws of that state at that time. You follow all that?
I follow all that.
Because Wallace's running mate tried to gain publicity by doing just such a thing.
I follow all
that. I think in this case, in the case of ultimately making all people in this country realize that they're individuals and part and parcel of a great country with no distinction or lack of distinction because of color or creed. I think that all the people in this country that realize those things are preferring to take the line of least and yet at the same time hardest resistance, the process of education. Mm-hmm. I do not think, nor have I ever thought, that the Negro situation or the Jewish situation or the Catholic situation or any other that you can name can be settled in 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years. Many, many years after we sit here tonight and discuss this situation, they will still be talking about it. But each time, Canada and Mac, that they discuss it, another two people see the light. And the twos become four, and the four become eight, and the eight become 16, and someday the world will come of age. It will not happen in Peekskill in one afternoon.
You bet your boots.
And I'd like to inject a little thought here. It just occurs to me that some time ago there was a colored gentleman by the name of Frederick Douglass, who was quite a champion of his race.
Somebody ought to write a play on him. There was a great...
Well, as a matter of fact, there was a girl by the name of Shirley Graham that wrote a pretty good book about him.
Not long ago.
What I wanted to bring out was the fact that he was asked to work hand in glove with a fellow by the name of John Brown, who I think at the start was really liberal and meant civil rights. But unfortunately, just as certain groups, they become so doggone vehement, so doggone militant about this thing that pretty soon they lose all sense of values. They lose all sense of direction, and pretty soon mayhem and murder, it all becomes part of the picture, which is the communist picture. And unfortunately, fellows like Canada Lee, or maybe I shouldn't say that, but apparently the stigma's been attached to them, and so therefore maybe I ought to stick there. But at any rate, people like Canada Lee, let me put it that way, have joined these groups and let the tail wag the dog, so-called. In other words, they get in with this violence, and pretty soon murder is in their mind.
I've never joined a group in my life.
Well, you've been attached to them, you become part and parcel.
Canada, this I know, you have lent your name to advertisement.
Yes.
That's the same thing.
True.
The man on the street, in the subway, and and on the bus doesn't stop to think whether you are or are not a member. You have joined.
That's
you have
in fact, don't hold a card.
I'd like to make one thought, though. You just spoke of John Brown, and you expressed the same thing that FDR said, and I say it again and again and again. When the people start out, they are in the center, and then through their vehemence, they go so far in one direction that they do lose that perspective, and that's just exactly what we as a nation are going through today. If we can discount the Robesons and at the same time discount the Kaltenborns and stay in that center, we're going to keep that wonderful equilibrium and keep living up to the Constitution, not completely, but gradually, ever so gradually, become more and more what Washington and Franklin and every other great man thought we might one day become.
I agree with you.
But we will never get there by leaning too far to the left nor too far to the right because extremes never work out. In other words, it requires intelligence and balance.
Yeah.
And none of the organizations, Canada, that are in the business of creating political opinion today have the balance that we are looking
for.
They
not only create political opinion, they create political strife. That's the trouble.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been talking with Canada Lee, star of the Lost Boundaries motion picture, Mac Clark, professional music man for many, many years. My name is Barry Gray. I'll be back on Sunday night at midnight and next Friday at 8:30. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Hear Bill Henry's report on the news, which follows in a moment. It's dynamic, inspiring, terrific. It's Walter Winchell at his best in the October Coronet. Read Walter Winchell's hard-hitting, behind-the-scenes story on what makes America great. Read In Defense of America by Walter Winchell in the new October Coronet, now on sale.